Hi, I'm Richard Karn, and you may have seen me on TV talking about the world's number one expandable garden hose. Well, the brand new Pocket Hose Copperhead with Pocket Pivot is here, and it's a total game changer. Old-fashioned hoses get kinks and creases at the spigot, but the Copperhead's Pocket Pivot swivels 360 degrees for full water flow and freedom to water with ease all around your home. When you're all done, this rust-proof anti-burst hose shrinks back down to pocket size for effortless handling and tidy storage. Plus, your super light and ultra-durable pocket hose Copperhead is backed with a 10-year warranty. What could be better than that? I'll tell you what, an exciting exclusive offer just for you. For a limited time, you can get a free pocket pivot and their 10-pattern sprayer with the purchase of any size Copperhead hose. Just text WATER to 64000. That's WATER to 64000 for your two free gifts with purchase. W-A-T-E-R to 64000.
By texting 64000, you agree to receive recurring automated marketing messages from Pocket Hose. Message and data rates may apply. No purchase required. Terms apply. Available at pockethose.com/terms.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to Grey's Academy. I am one of your hosts, Kelsey.
And I am one of your hosts, Carmen. And it has been truly so long. I feel like I don't even recognize your face anymore.
I know, it's been so long. A really long time. I was watching the episode and I was like, what happened last week?
Seriously, I had to listen to our own podcast. But it is a beautiful day to podcast. I was like listening to our podcast. I'm like, what the fuck even happened? I was looking at the synopsis on, I Google it, Grey's-a-pedia or something like that, just for the episode or some shit. They have like a Wikipedia for everything.
Yeah, I use that one a lot. The Grey's Anatomy like fan base, basically.
Yeah, but I only go there for whenever I make our episodes. Which, by the way, thank you to everyone who was patient for last week with that was my fault. That was my fault. It all worked out good, though. Okay. Also, sweet, sweet Brianna, she texted me. She Instagram messaged me later that night. And she's like, I've been thinking about this all day, but were you mad at the meme I sent in the Patreon Discord? And I was like, no, that shit was so fucking funny. And she's like, I've been thinking about it all day. And I was like, no, dude, that was like right up our alley of sarcasm. That was perfect. So shout out, Brianna. So we've got some shout outs. Do you have any shout outs that you want to start with?
Oh my gosh, so many. Well, first of all, we have two new Patreons. I think just
hell yeah.
It's, you guys have to bear with us because
we don't even understand time right now.
I think it was like freaking, today's the 18th, and I think the last time we recorded was the 2nd or 3rd. So, like, a lot, I don't know what anything is anymore.
Yeah.
In the world in general. I'm also very tired. So, we have two new patrons. Yeah. We have Marissa and Catherine.
Hell
yeah! Thank you guys
so
much for joining us. We love to see it. We love to see it. I also have a couple of emails.
Oh?
We got an email from Danielle, who is the person who left the pick them, choose them, love them, seriously, thumbs up review.
Oh, yes.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, amazing. Did she hear us talk about that review?
I don't think so. Well, I mean, not before she sent this email, because this email came in before that episode, I think.
Oh, okay. Got it.
But I don't know. Again, I'm very confused on time.
Yeah.
Maybe she did. I don't know. I'm so sorry, Danny. I don't know when we recorded and when things came out.
It's okay.
She said,
you can email us again when you hear this.
She said she wrote the review because she thought it would make us giggle.
It did. The review was just the emoji, and it's so fucking funny.
Yeah, she said she started listening about a month ago and she's already pretty deep into the show. So she's been watching Grey since 2015 and her boyfriend jokes that she's seen it over 1,000 times. Girl, same. This is what I used to do, and this is what I do with other shows that I watch on loop. She says when she reaches the end, she just immediately starts over at the pilot. And she says she doesn't really remember her first watch, so she's enjoying listening to your like experience as the first time watcher.
Hell yeah.
So and there and then she told me things that she is excited for us to get to in the future that are obviously spoilies.
Yeah.
So hell I cannot no, tell you spoilies. But she's excited. Then I have an email from Claudio, and the way this is addressed just fucking took me out. It says, "Dear mostly Kelsey and Carmen," because like,
hey, fuck you, Claudio.
Because I would say there's a decent amount of spoilers in it, which you know what, I like it because we want to, again, everyone's just looking out for Carmen. Everyone's just yes. keeping Carmen safe.
Yeah,
and we're grateful.
I retract my fuck you, Claudio. In fact, we love you, Claudio. Thank you for sending this.
So they say, absolutely love season 6 finale. Laughed very hard throughout all of season. Every time you would predict that Owen was going to shoot the hospital all because they're like anxious about the Gary Clark scenario that was looming, and said that you're really good for predicting things for the show, like George and Izzy. Bah.
Yeah, they fucked.
Then we got a big chunk of spoilies. Then we get just says, keep up the good work. Can't wait for more. And like rewatching and watching like in with our episodes. So I love that people are doing that. It's really cool. You guys have more self-control, because before this podcast, I never would have listened to one episode or watched one episode a week. I was like literally just on loop all the time.
I will say, was it you? Were we talking about this last week, or I don't know if it was on record or if we had said this off the air, but Kelsey was talking about how hard it is to like, she doesn't watch it on loop anymore. She really has restrained
really
every aspect of her life. And I just cannot say how cool that is.
And sometimes I see like clips online from things that are so far down the road, and I'm like, oh, we're really going to go watch that episode. And I'm like, ugh, but I can't. It's hard enough because I watch current episodes, although I am behind from when we were out of town, but it's hard enough watching like the current season and then like going back to this. It's like whiplash because it's, you know, however many years in between, 14, 15 years in between.
Yeah, just like a lifetime.
I really do think that season 21 might be the last season, because they recently announced that they're moving Grey's Anatomy to the 10 p.m. spot rather than the 9 p.m. spot. They're going to put in some like new show. I think it's about doctors like on a cruise ship or something. I don't fucking know. And then there's a couple of people who are on the show who've like announced that they won't be on the show next season. And they announced that it's going to be another shorter season next year. I think it's just kind of like all signs are pointing to like, no. Also, the show's been running for so long. It's probably one of the most expensive shows that ABC has. Like, you know, it's just like they're probably looking to make cuts somehow. And I just think it might be on its tail end.
Well, we did have in other news outside of the podcast, specifically like our recordings. But for those of you that knew, we were approached by a writer from The New York Times, and they had done this interview about shows that run for these 20 year plus shows, mm-hmm. and Grey's Anatomy being one of them. And they had a chance to pick our brain a little bit and like why we're looking at the show and like why, what got me into it to start as a new watcher all these years later. And it's hard to maintain that magic, but it feels like, cause this season that you're in right now, Ellen Pompeo is not in it anymore, right?
Okay, they like made a big deal about her leaving. She's like in and out.
Okay.
She's not in every episode, but she's still there enough to be like, why did you make such a big deal about it?
Yeah, so I don't know. When you lose the Grey of Grey's Anatomy, it's tough to come back from that. But, you know, they'll probably have spinoffs. The franchise in general seems like it was pretty I think they got their money. They got their money.
Sean is doing good. Which, speaking of which, oh my gosh, New Bridgerton.
I've heard a lot of good things about it.
Season might be my favorite so far. I mean, I've only seen half of it because only half of it's come out. So,
yeah.
Anyone wants to talk about Bridgerton, hit me up.
Yeah, we'll do that in a later episode. Maybe I'll just watch one episode of Bridgerton to see what I think about it.
Okay, wait, I have one more email.
One more email. All right. And then I got a couple of Instagram
from shout-outs. I'm pretty positive this is a different Catherine than the, yeah. Yes, it's a different Catherine. Okay. I have to read this. I am emailing you mouth agape as I binge your podcast. I just finished listening to the episode, season 6, episode 1, and Carmen predictions have me stunned. Season 6 will be the season of the gunshot. Excuse me, sir. If only you knew.
Oh, I know now, bitch.
We've all been there now. I am truly baffled at his talents for predicting things without even trying, and also actually getting things totally wrong when he really puts in the effort.
Wait, hey, wait, hold on. Catherine, wait, why are you coming at my whole life so hard right now?
Also, and she,
you
goes,
are
your
worse when
be...
you try hard. She says, I'm not even mad. And I'm not even mad. It's true.
And your ability to be so non-reactive to the absurd situations.
Oh, goodness.
She said, I see that you just completed season 6 finale and I can't wait to catch up. And then, this is so sweet. I'm so grateful for you and Carmen for putting this podcast together. Sorry.
I'm assuming spoilies
or... No, I just had a small stroke. I discovered Grey's Anatomy Grey's Academy in a huge life transition. Gets into some details and just says that having your banter to keep me company while discussing my favorite shows helps brighten my days and make me feel a little bit less alone in the crazy world. So that's just really sweet. And it really, and then she just goes on and ends it by saying, this email, I hope this email puts a smile on your face. It did, and helps, you know, this podcast makes an impact, which is really kind.
Fuck. Thank you, yeah. Catherine.
It made me smile so big. So,
you know, it's...
It's so cool. I love it when you guys email. I feel like it's just nice.
We also... I want you guys to know, we're not just saying this when we say we don't take it for granted. I think there have been enough people now... Maybe the first time we were like, no way, they're being so nice. Like, they found our podcast in a rough period of life. Okay.
Yeah.
Cool. They were just being nice. They were saying something nice to us. And then now it's like so many people have found this podcast, and like that came on for, I don't know. It's like a weird feeling, right? Where you don't, you almost like, you're like, okay, is someone saying something nice? Are they being genuine? And then all of a sudden people have said so many of these things over and over and over that you're like, wow, we really got to fucking take our shit for cereal right now, you know? Like,
yeah.
And I think we really try to not take that stuff for granted. We try to really take that stuff to heart. And we really talk about it
like all the time. We're like, wait, isn't that cool that people like give a shit?
Yeah.
It's like, we're so silly. We're just silly gooses.
Yeah.
We're just goosing, but like it brings people joy, and that makes it not goosing. That makes it like good. And we're like, just glad.
Goosing in a good way, not goosing in a bad way. You know,
we're just goobers. We're just silly little goobs talking about Grey's Anatomy. And I just love that people care about our takes on it and our silly little banters
and the fucking show. The show is so good. I'm loving
it. It's a really good show. And then also like, it's so cool because like a lot of our listeners also follow our personal accounts. And so like when I was posting about our Disney trip, a lot of people were just responding and being like, so glad you had such a great time with your family. And it's just cool that people are just nice. I love it when people are nice.
Yeah,
because sometimes on the internet people are not nice, and so it's great that we get the nice people, and we love that, and we feel very lucky.
And how truly crazy, because I do try to reach out, and I still try to do this. I try to reach out to every single person who follows the three of us, the podcast, you and me. If I look at their account and I see, oh look, they follow all three of us. They clearly found us through this. And not a single person that I've reached out to and introduced myself. And I always try to end with like a no spoilies. And I hand type all these messages out to people. And I'm like, no one has spoiled the show for us. No one has said, oh, we got him right where we fucking want him. So anyways, unless you have any more shout outs, I've got a couple shout outs that I would like to do. So first off, we got a couple of graduates in our midst.
Yeah.
Let's see. Who graduated? First off, also, Katya really just cruising on some of those certifications that she's been working on. Let's see. Shout out.
Crushing it.
I know for sure Kathleen has just graduated.
Was Samantha also one? Did I make that up?
Let's see. I gotta like search here because I was not at all prepared for this. Clearly, I was not prepared enough. Also, of course, my fucking internet wants to be so, so terrible. Claire graduated. And Claire is one of our, I was like trying to find the actual chat to see the picture. Claire, yeah. love a good cap toss pick. You are absolutely glowing, you little angel queen. And who else do we talk about? Sam?
I might be wrong. She may have been like a freshman. She may have been more recent to she was starting school.
Okay. Either way, we've got some really fucking cool
stories
there.
You made it to the summertime.
Seriously. And then I know we already shouted out new Patreon, Catherine, but I also want to shout out Patreon, Catherine, because I had messaged her before she had joined and we were talking a little bit. She found the podcast like a week or so ago, and she was looking for something because the on-call room hasn't been posting, or they hadn't been putting anything out for a couple months. And she was really, really sweet because I picked her brain. I was like, hey, like, can I just ask you some of the big differences between these shows? And she was very, very sweet. But she said there's a lot less bias on our show about the characters, and she appreciates that. And there's a lot of George and Izzy hate on both shows, but she's glad that at least us, we acknowledge the superb acting talent from Katherine Heigl and T.R. Yeah. Knight. And then she said, the last thing, the on-call room has a Facebook group, but it doesn't seem as interactive as your Discord channels. So shout out to the Discord. And I am going to pause here. If you have not followed us on Instagram, on TikTok, on X, or if you are on the fence about joining the Patreon, follow the link in our app. Hit that 5-star button wherever you go. We always appreciate the reviews. Like, we need to make sure that we're asking you guys. Like, it really has helped. We topped out at number 45 this month on the iTunes playlist chart. I didn't have a chance to look at the Spotify ones, but the fact that we're a top 50 podcast in iTunes is like just fucking banana sandwich. That's a throwback Dane Cook reference for you fucking millennials out there.
Wait, hold on. You
say your thing. You say your thing. And then I'll say my thing.
Do you know that there's a Ron Burgundy podcast?
Yes, where he's in character as Ron Burgundy.
Okay. I didn't know that, and I learned it, and I immediately was like, Carmen needs to know that this exists. Yes. So I'm glad that you do. Okay, continue with your thoughts.
So over the radio at work the other day, someone radioed and said, hey, Carmen, we got some you got some mail. And I immediately on the radio go, but does it make you want to wag your tail? And like three people laughed, and all these Gen Zers looked at me like, why would you say this over the radio? And I'm like, because it's Blue's Clues, motherfuckers.
God, you guys, Blue's Clues was peak.
They won't even know.
Fucking top tier.
They don't even
know.
My
kids watch Blue's Clues.
Yeah. Anyways, hate that I've had an old moment. And also, Jessica, throwback, Jessica D. I'm not going to say your name all the way on the podcast, but you rock, dude. I was just thinking about you the other day, and I messaged you, and she was like super, super sweet. Anyways, had a chance to message with her. And let's see. So fucking many. Also, shout out to all the fucking moms, dude.
Thank you.
Seriously, happy Mother's Day. Happy Mother's Day. And then where is my messages? Maddie. Fucking okay. Maddie K. Thank you for just being super dope. I messaged her, and I also, if your account's not on private, I also tried to like go and like look at your pictures, and Maddie had some fucking cool ass photos of a fucking bison in the snow. I'm gonna send this picture to you.
I have a styled shoot on Monday at a bison ranch, and I'm
you
so excited.
Shut up.
And they just had a calf like a month ago. Oh. There's gonna be a baby there. I'm so excited.
So Maddie K, super, super dope, doing a cross country trip, third year vet student, having a chance to like
talk through
seriously. And like her messages that she sent are super thoughtful, super in depth, really answered a lot of the questions.
My best friend from high school is a vet.
Look at that. I love that.
A lot of work, so props.
Oh, and we need good fucking vets out there. Mm-hmm. Like the vets got me through my sweet Grievous's passing. And then Olivia E. Olivia and I have had a really good conversation shitting on Scandal. So
I just started a Scandal rewatch. That's funny.
Hold on. Not actually shitting on Scandal. I think that there's just some things about the show that they really under leveraged. Mm-hmm. And also at one. Well, OK, I'm not going to get into that. This is a different conversation because I don't want to spoil it for anyone. And then Alicia, just for being a gem, you and I know that you're going through some shit right now and life is overwhelming and you deserve a fucking nap, dude. You just take a fucking nap and ice cream. And Kelly, our sweet, sweet Kelly Gilly.
Yes.
I know
my
that
baby bestie.
Things are emotional right now for you. So I just know that this is a shout out.
She's going to move here.
She messaged me and she said, yeah, I was looking at houses in Chattanooga. And I said, I think you spelled Chicago wrong.
Nope.
And she said, no,
Sorry. You'll also move here and we'll all be neighbors. So
yeah, we'll all be neighbors. So I think that's all I got. We're in a predicament where we found ourselves 20 fucking minutes into the show. I'm going to have to put a disclaimer at the beginning of this episode, but we haven't talked in like 2 weeks.
Yeah.
I don't even feel bad.
And we didn't even talk about like what we've actually been doing the past 2 weeks.
I know. You know what? We're going to give ourselves a full all the way to the 30 minute mark. And then we'll have.
I don't feel good about that.
Okay.
I don't want to do that.
All right. I want you all to know that I tried
the episode.
Okay. All right. All right. That's fine. Episode, whatever. Fucking, I forget. This is even a Grey's Anatomy podcast sometimes.
I know. Carmen, we're making an impact by talking about Grey's Anatomy, not by talking about us.
Okay. At this point now, people do like us for us. They're not just using us for our beautiful brains. They're using us for our beautiful heart and lungs and mouth talking. Okay.
Okay.
We discovered a new park today, and I think Jess and I are going to buy a golf cart.
That feels like a weird choice right now.
Oh no, no, we're not going to buy it now, but like maybe tomorrow.
Yeah, that feels like. What are you doing?
I was touching sometimes my penis
guys,
right now.
But only
I had an itch.
Lot,
I had an itch.
But
I
cannot see because it's like a camera that cuts off at mid waist, which is normal. But sometimes he's like scratching his leg, and sometimes he's like shaking his leg. But the way he sits or like is moving, it just looks horrendous.
Like
sometimes
I'm just fucking
have to ask.
Beating my meat live on
like,
camera.
What are you doing?
And then there was one
Quite
time
literally
I was like,
what?
Picking a nail off, like my toenail off or some shit.
Yeah, and then he was like, do you want to see it? And I was like, no, I don't. Thank you, though.
Okay.
So,
anyways. All right. Therapy's going great. Let's have a...
Jesus Christ.
All right. Putting my dick away. Finally. Let's do a fucking... Kelsey's like, I've had to look at this thing for 22 minutes.
Okay. This is the third episode of the seventh season. It is the 129th episode overall, and it is called Super Freak, and that is a song. Your hair looks insane. Fix
I know. Sell my freak, sell my freak, sell my freak. Super Freak, she's the kind of girl you don't take home to mommy to meet her. It's a 1981 single produced by Rick James, bitch. All you Chappelle fans out there, you will get that. All right. So this song was, it was from the album Super Freak, and it was on the B side as in, they had a B side instrumental. So there was the song with the lyrics. And then in case that wasn't enough, there was just an instrumental version.
In case you want to walk down the aisle to
the
instrumental
the wedding
version.
They also had an acoustic version. They had a string quartet version.
That's the first dance version.
Okay, listen, if a string quartet version of this, hold on, I need to look this up. Does a string quartet version of Super Freak exist?
Remember when you found, when we found that EDM high on the hill, a lonely ghost jersey.
Oh, yes. Oh, my goodness. All
wait,
right.
What EDM song did I send you that they like turned into an EDM song? It was one of the Taylor Swift songs, I think.
I don't know, but it was good. Hold on, I just need to see what this is right now. Oh, it's a string quartet of... All right, anyways, that's terrible. All right. We have a podcast to do. We're professionals. All right, 1981 to 1982. This song reached as high as number 26 in Australia, 2 in Belgium, 40 in Canada, 2 in the Netherlands, 4 in New Zealand, 16 in the U.S. Billboard Hot 100, number 1 in the U.S. Hot Dance Club Play Billboard, number 3 in the Hot Soul Singles, number 17 in the Hot Cash Box Top 100, and then number 14 in the U.S. Record World Singles. Year-end chart, it ended at 54 in Belgium, 24 in the Netherlands. And with that, it reached gold status in Canada, the UK, and the United States, eclipsing 500,000 sales in the United States. So, Rick James... The real Rick James, will you please stand up? And Kelsey, please take it away on this episode.
Okay. This episode was written by Mark Wilding, directed by Michael Pressman, aired October 7th, 2010. 12.75 million views. Now, let's look at the Netflix synopsis. Netflix synopsis for Super Freak. Issues surface when Derek's estranged sister Amelia visits unexpectedly. Meredith and Derek continue to try to ease Christina back into surgery. I feel like that's pretty correct.
Pretty good. Yeah.
Sorry. There we go. Okay, podcast burp. And here we go. Hulu. Issues surface when Derek's estranged sister visits unexpectedly. They are just like plagiarizing at this point.
Hulu needs to get their shit together. I'm kind of disappointed. Be creative.
Yeah.
Just be creative. Oh, goodness gracious. All
right. I feel like I've been talking about family drama with so many people recently.
Mm-hmm.
And this episode was really on brand with that, so.
Yeah. Well, Jess, I'm sure, has told you all about the family drama that we went through this week.
I actually don't think that's...
No?
I don't think so.
Oh, we'll have to catch you up on that. Let's start now. Oh, so no. It all started...
when I was born.
13 years ago, I met this beautiful little angel, not Jessica. All right, Brett Favre is in this episode.
Great joke.
I LOL'd hard. Being from the Midwest, this is a very funny joke. Being a Bears fan, Brett this Favre. Is a very... What?
I met Brett Favre.
Really?
He loves Everest. So he came there multiple times when I worked there as a CP. Like, and wow. He would just get off and immediately go back on. Like, he loves that ride. Like, all the managers knew him because he was there. Like, anytime he came to Disney, he would, like, spend a lot of time at Everest.
Did he have enough pull to where he could just sit on the ride and just not get up?
No. No, because the issue with that is there's not the safe. They don't, like, the in-between load and unload. It's this, the lap bar isn't going to stay down.
Oh, okay.
So.
Cool. Yeah. Good to know. The more you know. We learned something new, a very valuable lesson. It only took us 3 years of recording and 28 minutes into this episode.
So, anyways, okay.
We haven't met this sister before yet, right?
So, remember, like, 2 weeks ago when I was like, hey, can you watch 15 episodes of Private Practice before... Episode 3, and you said thumbs up.
Before episode three? Wait, what? You never said before episode three?
Yeah, I did.
Really?
Yeah, but I said it's not super important, but if you could, that'd be great. Amelia's like a regular character on Private Practice before this. So no, not on Grey's Anatomy. Yes, she is on Private Practice.
Dang. I know living in Shondaland on this one.
Yeah.
So
I almost
okay.
Like, didn't put it in because I was like, is it spoilers? And then I was like, no, it's not spoilers.
Okay, so when's the next crossover episode?
You know, it's a good question, Carmen, and I don't know the answer off the top of my head.
Alicia, when's the next Alicia or Brianna, when's the next crossover episode?
I'll find it. Just stop screaming at people.
I'm more whining than screaming. It's just I'm Italian.
Screaming.
Okay. I want a cookie. I got crumble cookies upstairs.
Oh, I was not impressed this week.
Hold on. That French toast one, you gotta fucking try it.
Yeah.
It's like a loaf. It's like a fucking literally.
The next crossover is gonna be season
8, 7. Eight. Fuck.
Episode 18. Kind of a crossover. More just, okay. I mean, I think you should try and catch up more by then.
Okay.
For many reasons. And then the big, big next real crossover is season 8, episode 15.
All right. I got time. Okay. Well, let's take a quick pause for regional sponsors. And we are back. Welcome back. Thank you. Make sure you hit that 5-star, that subscribe button, that follow button, wherever you listen, do that.
Yeah, make sure you give us 5 stars for talking not about Grey's Anatomy for the first 30 minutes of this Grey's Anatomy podcast.
This is the one time. And it's all about the people who listen to Grey's.
We do this like every other month.
Yeah, you're welcome. And make sure you hit that follow us to the Patreon. If you're on the fence and you're thinking, man, should I do the Patreon? Do the Patreon. We have
a
special...
on their side this episode?
Meredith?
Arizona. Oh. I was like, Reed?
Yeah.
The Room.
All right. I forgot how we do this podcast. It's been so long. So where do you want to start? Should we just talk about Arizona and Callie? They're being like weird and they're trying to kick Christina out of their own house. They're trying to take over the house.
Yeah.
I need help, Kelsey.
So much.
Fuck you. This was Burke's apartment.
Yes.
How did Christina get it?
Burke left. She had moved in, so she was probably on the lease.
Okay. So she just kept it after that. Okay. So now Arizona is like, hey, Callie, let's kick this woman out of her house. Let's
newly traumatized human being.
Let's usurp this woman's safe place. That's what we should do.
Truly.
It really is not a good look. It's not a.
Yeah. I was like, Arizona, you have got to chill. Like she's literally like hanging on by the tiniest thread.
Well, that scene where Callie goes to Meredith and is like, hey, do you think you could talk to Christina about moving out? Because, like, we just want a fucking peace. And she's like, I don't even know if she's going to be alive or around tomorrow. Like, this is all so crazy. And then Arizona goes up and is like, you should really talk to her about the moving thing. Or, like, did you do that already? Blah, 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 blah. And Callie even says, we're fucking monsters.
Yes.
Which you are.
I have to agree.
Arizona Robbins trying to Robin that house from Christina.
Oh my gosh, I cannot stop yawning.
It's all right.
So yeah, not on Arizona's side.
Yeah, not a good look.
Let's talk about Derek and Amelia. What did you think of Amelia? Give me your first impression.
First impression was this girl is a lot. And when we meet her, Derek's like deciphering through. So she's a neurosurgeon, right? That's what I'm gathering. She's also
yes.
a brain human doctor. a human brain doctor. A little bit of both. Yeah, a little bit of both. A human doctor, a brain doctor. And this guy, she said that he has a brain tumor, but they fucked on the airplane.
Yeah, that's how they met.
So how would she even know about this guy's scan? She didn't do a scan on the airplane.
She doesn't say anything about a scan. She diagnosed him based on physical symptoms.
Oh, is that really? I missed that part.
Yeah.
So this was before, like, was she in the middle of sex going like, oh, wait, oh, you got a brain tumor. That's dope. And then they fucked. Like,
Derek,
I don't understand.
Says, did she tell you you have spongy hands? And he goes, yes. And he said, were your hands on her breasts when she said it? And he said, yes.
Right. So that was the symptom, the spongy hands.
I think she followed up with other ones, but yes.
Okay. She's fine. I didn't hate her.
Yeah.
First reaction, I didn't hate her. I hated her by the end of the episode, but it was also a little bit of hate towards Mark, too. So,
oh, that,
yeah, honestly, yeah, there was. Oh, go ahead.
A lot of people hate Amelia. I don't hate Amelia. She's one of my favorites on Private Practice. So,
good. Is Addison still in Private Practice? Did we lose Addison?
Addison's still there. Okay. Katarina Scorsone, maybe I'm saying it wrong, who is the actress who plays Amelia, is very, very talented, and she really gets a lot of like good storylines to dig into on Private Practice. So I will say it till the day I die. If you like Grey's and you haven't watched Private Practice, I truly don't know what you're doing. So
yeah. And just if you're it. As slow, if you've let Grey's go by 21 seasons and you haven't watched Private Practice, then have I got a Patreon for you, because we are going at that speed with making Private Practice content. I have the notes. Yeah. I liked her, though. I think so. We get some cool backstory. We get some very, very good backstory with Derek and her. So apparently she stole Derek's prescription pad, got herself pills, OD'd, died. Derek brought her back to life. Yep. And on top of all that, they were in the shop where their dad got killed.
Yeah.
When he got killed.
Yes.
That's, you know, they don't write easygoing characters on this.
No one has a good life.
No one. Except for George. And then George got killed.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, his dad died too.
No, that's true.
And his brothers were kind of annoying.
Yeah, but annoying brothers and a dead dad when you're an adult, I guess, is not super traumatic. Like, yeah. Christina has a dead dad from a childhood and she held his heart while he died. That's pretty traumatic.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, Meredith, crappy mom. Christina, we talked about that. Alex, basically no mom. Izzy, trailer park girl. Who else did I miss? I mean, Lexi had a good life until she didn't. Mark, Derek.
Callie, I guess, had a pretty easy upbringing up until her family was horrific homophobics.
Right. Arizona, good life. Hunt. No, Hunt's got a lot of.
Well,
shit
Arizona's going on. Brother died.
Oh, that's right. 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 Yeah, you know, I think we're due for a character with no problems and is just like
a vibing.
Good, yeah, just vibing. We need a John Ralphio in this show. Is what we need. Who's a terrible person, but. Their dad is Fonzie.
He got hit
and it
by
just...
a Lexus.
Oh, man.
Classic. Michael and I sing that all the time. Like, anytime I see a Lexus, I have to sing the song.
Don't be suspicious. Don't be
don't
suspicious.
Be suspicious. Don't be suspicious. Don't be suspicious. Don't be suspicious. Don't be suspicious. John Ralphio?
Run! So okay, all right, let's do this. Let's focus. Adderall powers.
You need Adderall. Okay.
I probably do.
I know.
I'm on six Adderalls right now.
Derek is not giving Amelia a chance. Here's the thing. There's clearly a lot of baggage. He tells Meredith Amelia was an addict. She did pills. She crashed his car when she was high. She stole his prescription pad. She OD'd. He saved her life. I have to talk about this in a vague way just to like protect people's privacy. I like have experience with people who are like in recovery and have been sober for a while. All of my experience has been on like on a friend level, and I definitely think there's a very different experience than when it's a family member. I think like the patience that you have for them and the expectation and like the limits that I don't know. I just think I can't speak to that. I can only speak to what I have seen, because I do have friends and family or friends who have had family members go through it, and they kind of just hit a wall where I think almost as like a defense mechanism, they just are like, well, this is just what it's going to be. And then they're going to die.
Yeah.
Whether it be an overdose or some other like poor life choice that leads to that. I've said this before, I'll say it again. I fully believe that addiction is a disease, and I do think people with it need treatment. But there's a lot like that. It's never black and white. Like there's a lot of nuance to it, but I just think that when you have, for me, the way Derek talks to Amelia, based on other people that I know who have kind of lived that experience, it felt genuine to what I've like the experiences that have been recounted to me from family members of addicts and recovering addicts.
Yeah.
So I think that was written well.
Yeah, I very, very much agree. And I have, so I actually have, fucking damn it, fucking shit cock.
Okay, all right, Miranda Bailey.
It's not a spider. It's a June bug. Less reaction. Okay, let me get a fucking shoe.
Literally, when I was watching this episode and that spider crawled out, I was like, ugh. It's exactly what Carmen does when there's a spider in his basement. So, oh, I heard it. I heard the shoe. I don't know if he got it.
The shoe dropped. Or the other shoe dropped, or whatever that saying is. Yeah, that shit freaked me out, though, too. Surprised me. So I have a family member who has gone through that. And it is sad when the family kind of almost gets to a point where they write them off. And they're, like, not even a part of the family anymore. I've seen it. But I've seen recovery happen as well on, you know, other family members. And I've seen friends who've gone through heroin addiction specifically. I've not seen like opioid situation. Right. That's a tough one. That's a tough. And like listening to the Matthew Perry book, like that's a lot of shit that he's gone through. Hi Watson. So it did feel like a good representation. I'm glad that there was some kind of reconciling with that episode, but you get kind of like Derek does try to protect people in this. Like he doesn't try to protect, or he tries to protect Meredith in this, where he's like, I'm not going to tell you about this. And she's like, what? She's like, why? What's the problem? So what? She crashed your car. And he's like, it's not the car crash. It's the reason that she crashed the car. And then she died and I had to bring her back to life, Meredith. Okay. So calm down.
Well, and he's like, that's what she put my mother through.
Right.
And then, so I also, you're right. Derek definitely has like a very like protective side of him. But I also was kind of thinking like when they have the moment at the end where he basically recounts the day that their dad was shot in front of them because she was younger and he just like kind of walks her through it. Which is like a common practice that people do to kind of fully process traumas that they've lived through, typically with a therapist, but this is fine. They're both neurosurgeons, I guess that's okay. So, but I did also write like, do we think potentially there is also resentment because she was there with him for the worst moment of their life?
Yeah.
And so it's like, not that either one of them is at fault. Obviously they were children.
Yeah.
but more just like they are kind of like the living reminder of that terrible day. And so I wonder, like, on top of all the other stuff, if there's any layer of that to it. And then also, like, the protectiveness that he feels towards her specifically because of that. But then just because of, like, being an older brother and everything. And then he can't protect her from herself. Like, he can protect her from all these things in the world. But when she, you know, is an addict, that's, like, you really can't do anything. Like, you can try your best to be there for an addict, but at a certain point, it's like there has to be some on their end of the decision to seek the recovery. And so it is really hard when all you want is to, like, help and protect and keep people safe. And it's like feels like there's absolutely nothing you can do. So, yeah. Just think there's definitely a lot to unpack. Maybe some shepherd therapy in order.
Yeah, some shepherd pie at some shepherd therapy. I will say, so on the opposite of trauma bonding, there is the trauma resentment. And it's the, like you said, these people or this thing becomes a living reminder of the shit that you've gone through. It's why, you know, siblings go through years without talking to each other if they were around through a parent's divorce, and they're like, every time I look at you, I see dad hitting mom or shit like that. You know, we see that in TV shows. Mm-hmm. We see that in lives and stuff like that. So, I will say, to Derek's credit though, he does actually give her a lot of slack, I think, in general, because he's going through, and while even in the operating room, so I know I'm kind of like jumping ahead here. But we get to that scene at the end where Christina's in surgery. She's not doing well, right? And she comes in and she's like, oh, yeah, crack team you got here. Great job, Derek. And he doesn't say anything. They get in the surgery. Christina leaves, and she's like, man, that one's a dud. And he's like, she's not a dud. And there's like a couple of things that she says, and then Derek's like, you kind of have this moment too where you think she's turning a corner because they get the thing out. She's like, I impressed myself. Like, they're working together. They have this cool moment. Christina leaves, calls her a dud. And there's like quite a few things that happen, those like little mini comments. And then finally Derek's like, this woman saved my life. I owe her everything. She did a surgery on me and took a bullet out of my fucking chest at gunpoint. He doesn't say that. But like, he says, you can get the hell out of my life now. Go. Fucking go. And to Derek's credit, all the shit that he feels, all the resentment, all the pissed off feelings that he has, and even if there is some of that that trauma survival resentment, he gives her a lot of leash, I think. Or a lot of leeway. Not a lot of leash. A lot of leeway in, like, all right, you're going to be shitty. That's fine. I'm annoyed with you. But, like,
here's the thing.
That was my take.
Again, we all know that I love Christina. Sorry, that's the door opening. And I am sad in this episode because, like, again, clearly she's like not doing well. She's not herself. She's in the midst of PTSD and all that from, you know, the shooting still. If you don't know that and you don't have that backstory, then yeah, and you just came in. If you're Amelia, you're like, wow, this person's a bad doctor. Like,
yeah,
why are you letting them be a doctor? Obviously, we, the audience, know the whole story and know, like, why she's being that way and know that she is a good doctor. She's just not being one right now. But to Amelia's credit, I'm like, yeah, I would also be like, wow, how does she have a job? She's really bad at being a doctor. Yeah. Like, that's kind of wild that you guys just let her work here when
and
she's
she
so bad
does
at this.
Seem so disinterested. So that's, I mean, I get where she's coming from.
Yeah. I mean, again, we know the whole picture and we know what's going on, but if you don't, then it really doesn't look good. And like, Derek's just like trying to drag any amount of doctoring out of her. And she's just like fighting so hard, and he just wants her to care again. And she's like, I cannot get far enough away from this.
Yeah.
So,
and it is interesting because she's going in and out of, like, the non-doctor thing, she's being normal. The doctor thing, yeah. she like switches to a different person.
Yeah.
So she gets to operate on this guy. Obviously it becomes this vessel for, she doesn't really do anything. He goes to fill the nasal cavity. That's when the breakdown happens. And Christina's like standing off in the corner at the end of that.
Yeah. Like he needs Christina to do something. And she's like, please, like, I can't. And he's like, no, it's okay. It doesn't have to be good. And I'm like, okay, that feels like it probably should be though. It gets someone's brain. And then she's like, please just stop. Like, she knows he's trying and it's not like there's not malintent to it. But again, it's like, no one's listening to Perkins, who probably knew the best plan of action, and no one listened to that poor man. And so Derek's like, no, let me just push way too hard and that will definitely solve the problem.
Yeah. If she goes, I go. Calm
Which,
down,
like,
Derek.
Like, points to Derek for standing up and, like, wanting to fight for her. Although, like, at no point was anyone trying to kick her out. Like, they're just trying to figure out, like, basically they were all just trying to get on the same page about, like, what the plan was going to be for her.
Yeah.
Which is fine. But... I love that he's like standing up for her, and I love the like that he feels, you know, he recognizes how much he owes her. Like, it's quite literally his life. However, that, like, you don't always know best. Like, there is a way to help her, but if she doesn't even know what she needs, I mean, I think the moment at the end with the two of them in the morgue is like, I do feel like that is a finally like kind of doing something that might actually be helpful to her. But
yeah,
everything else was not.
There's three scenes that I want to talk about a little bit more in depth. And the one that you just talked about hit the nail on the head. So number one, they're in doing the scans, and then Amy says something about this girl with the fucking learning disability. Like,
probably not a joke they would make now.
No, but then what does she say after that? She says they should have shot her, or someone should shoot her, or something like that.
No. Yeah. She says, like, if you're going to send my patient in there with her, you might as well just shoot him.
Right. That's what it was. And Derek says, we do not fucking talk about shooting people in this building.
Yeah.
Woman. And wait, I got to backtrack even one step further. When we meet this bitch.
Oh, yeah.
She's going, I need to find Derek Shepherd. And the receptionist, whoever that woman is, she's like, do you have an appointment? She said, no. And she acts like she saw a ghost, because then Sloan walks up and she's like, well, the last person who walked in looking for Dr. Shepherd without an appointment fucking killed 100 people. So. Yeah. We're concerned. So anyways, that was funny. But then there's the scene where Christina and Derek are talking, and he's like, we wouldn't have picked each other. Okay.
I love this scene.
Can we talk about the scene for a minute?
Yes, please.
Do you have the receipts pulled up for this one by chance?
Oh, I have recipients. Hold on.
It's so good. This here is one of those moments where I need you guys to know, Derek is not the worst character on this show.
Oh, this was a good Derek episode. Honestly, like, I think even if you're kind of like, oh, he shouldn't be mean to Amelia, like, again, I think there's so much baggage there that I think.
Yeah.
I'm happy with the resolution of it, so I think it's fine. But this is a good Derek episode. Also mirrored next to Owen, kind of really pissing me off. I really am like, yeah, Derek gets it better.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, so Derek says, I wouldn't have picked you to be a part of my life. And Christina says, professionally? And Derek said, sure, if you didn't think my field was so uninteresting. But personally, we wouldn't have picked each other. But now we're family, and that means I worry about you. You're flaming out, and as someone who cares about you, it's not okay. As someone who has seen a lot of residents come and go, but very, very few with your potential, it's not okay. And Christina says, I can barely remember it. The whole procedure, I took a bullet out of your chest, and all I can remember are bits and pieces. And the bits and pieces I do remember come back at very inconvenient times. So end of story. Okay. And then she leaves. But I love like him acknowledging like this would not like this is not the vibe, but it is the vibe.
Yeah. Well, I mean, think about it. Think about our friendship even. You know, we probably would have, if we crossed paths, been like, oh, that person's funny. But like, would the version of us yearn? Yeah.
to hang out with each other?
Would we have such a strong desire to outside of work hang out? And that would have been if I ended up down at Disney at the same time as you. Right. So a lot of things without the Jessica middle factor and without the Meredith middle factor for them, odds are these things don't end up, and look at us now, we're fucking family. And I love that Derek acknowledges that, because also last episode, or no, it was this episode when Owen is walking and he's like, so
that's
my wife is
pissed me off,
my wife is sleeping in your bed now, and he's like, well, yes, but she's sleeping with Meredith, I just happen to be on the other side of the bed. And
do you really think it would be weird if you woke up and I was on the other side of Jessica? Like, obviously it would be weird because I live far away, but if I lived close.
Yes, I would be concerned. I would be like, what happened? If you showed up just randomly in my bed, I would think that you and Michael got a divorce. And I'd be like, okay, so the kids are in the other room now. I don't know what's happening. Yeah. But I mean, even when we would have sleepovers at the old apartment or the old house, I think I have slept in a bed where Jessica was in between me on one side. And I think both, I think at one point you, Kayla and Lauren rotating through at one point have been in the same bed as me probably. And my wife. So
I mean,
like
me and Kelly slept in the same bed all the time. Yeah. And also Michael some of the time, but me and Kelly a lot of the time.
Yeah. So that to me is not a weird thing. And I think if all of a sudden, this is also very, these are very different relationships.
Yeah.
Anyways, but yeah, when Derek was like, don't worry, dude, I'm taking care of her. Like, I got you.
Yeah, which I appreciated. But like, Owen was basically like, why are you okay with the fact that they're weird? And I'm like, okay, you have got to chill. I do not like this.
It was, yeah, it was awkward a little bit there.
I'm just like, I don't feel like he is, I still don't really feel like he grasps the Meredith and Christina. The you're my person concept.
Yeah. But
and Derek has never like really pushed it ever. And I appreciate that from him. And so I think that Owen sucks a little bit in this moment. I loved Derek's analogy of like, you know how E.T. and Elliot have the bond, and like if E.T. gets sick, Elliot gets sick, that's them, and we're like the bad guys from the government trying to take them away from each other.
Yeah.
And so like, don't be the fucking bad guys, Owen. And Owen's like, oh, you're okay with that? And I'm like, yes, because it's fine.
Yeah.
it's not hurting anything. It's not threatening the relationship.
Yeah.
They had each other before any of this other bullshit.
Technically, Derek and Meredith were together first. So
technically, Derek was a dirty, dirty liar.
Not a dirty, dirty liar, but a dirty, dirty omitter for sure.
Yeah. That's...
Also, is now a bad time for me to disclose to the world and openly welcome the shame of never seeing the movie E.T.?
Yeah, I guess it's a good time, but maybe also you could watch it.
I could.
It's a fine movie.
I mean, apparently one of the greatest movies of all time to some. Also, Drew Barrymore. Is Drew Barrymore Elliot?
Part. No, she's Elliot's sister. Okay. Elliot is a boy.
That's why I was confused for a second. I thought, okay, I thought Drew Barrymore was the main character, but
she's a sibling.
Okay.
I mean, I think it's definitely, you know, it's pretty heavily referenced in pop culture. It's worth one watch. It's weird, but it's good stuff. You know,
I get the phone home. E.T. has to make a long connect call to his planet. Mm-hmm.
Did you ever ride the ride?
I think maybe Universal, right?
Such a good ride. Yeah, such a good ride.
It's not there anymore.
It is still there.
Oh, maybe then I think I did. If it's still there, then I did. I think maybe ride it once. So,
Welcome home.
What was the ride that I rode for the first time with you guys? It was the Neverland, the Peter Pan. I rode Peter Pan with you guys for the first time.
Oh, really?
Last time we were there. Yeah.
Oh, we rode that.
Was it because your daughter peer pressured me into riding it, I think?
No, that was Winnie the Pooh.
Ah, that was the one. That was I had never rode that one before. I think Peter Pan I'd ridden before. Winnie the Pooh I hadn't. So, okay, then the last final thing I think we could talk about before this episode wraps up, and then we have to cover like a billion things in the next episode, is, yeah, we've done it before. It's fine. Is that scene where they go to the cadaver?
Yes, because when she says the parts of it that come back at really inopportune times, I think he's like, okay, so let's just have her remember all of it in like a really controlled environment. Again, we definitely see the Derek like wanting to protect and wanting to solve problems and be there for people in this episode. And what's tricky with Christina is like, if she doesn't know how she can be helped, then anyone trying to help her is kind of just going to be guessing. Cause if she doesn't even know, how is anyone else supposed to know?
Yeah.
So it is really great that he kind of puts two and two together and is like, okay, so like, that's where we're at. So let's, you know, let's see if we can do something about it. And so he walks her through it, and we're led to believe that she, you know, doesn't fight him on it and actually goes through it, which I really enjoyed that scene as well. And I think Derek doesn't have a stake in this. Like, he doesn't have anything to gain. He really truly is just like appreciative for what she did for him, and knows that it came at great personal sacrifice to her, because it has so negatively impacted literally her entire life now. And he's like, he wants her to be okay and be back to where she was prior.
Yeah. Which is a fair thing to want, first off.
Yeah, especially for someone you care about.
Yeah. So I like that in this moment too, Derek's like, what's the worst that can happen? You can't kill him.
That was funny. She goes, ha ha ha, funny.
So, and then he kind of, he has that moment where he shows her the scar, and he's like, this is where you started right here.
Mm-hmm.
What does he say?
She's like, I don't remember. And he's like, I've got receipts.
This is where you started, and this is where we ended.
Yeah.
So, and then let's talk through that final scene. I guess this is where we can actually wrap up. So there's closure for Derek and Amy.
Yeah.
Do you got receipts on that one?
I do. Sad.
Sad fucking
sad
receipts.
Receipts.
So the saddest of all, the receipts are crying.
So earlier in the episode, when Amelia is confronting Derek about like, you won't talk to me about getting shot, you won't talk to me about mom, you won't talk to me about dad, you won't talk to me about anything, and she basically says, she's like, I can't even remember dad because I was so young and I can't remember that day, but like, I also do remember it, and like all this stuff. And so I think the moment with Christina obviously parallels, and he sees that it's helpful for her to like have the whole memory to be able to process it. So he is basically giving that to Amelia in this moment. And he says, we were in the back of the store. Dad had just given you 2 pennies and you always hid them behind the counter in this big crack in the floorboards. You said you were saving them so you could buy a town. And then 2 guys came in. We could hear them talking, but you weren't paying any attention until Dad yelled and you looked up. They had already pulled the gun. They had already taken the money, and now they wanted the watch that Mom gave him. He wouldn't give it up. There was a gunshot. You lunged forward. And she says, I remember I was trying to get to him, but I couldn't move. And Derek said, that is because I was holding you so tight you couldn't budge. I put one hand over your mouth so you wouldn't scream and wrapped the other one around you and just held on for dear life, prayed to God that you'd be quiet and that you wouldn't say anything. You were so little. I think that's what I've always wanted all of these years, is for you to just stay little and quiet and safe. But you're not any of those things. You're loud and fearless, and it scares the crap out of me. How am I supposed to call you up and tell you that I've been shot? I can't tell you about my pain. I don't want you to know that pain exists.
There's first off, tears, goosebumps. Those last couple of lines, for me, for sure, I'm sure you feel the same way, and so many parents out there feel the same way. That I think has summed up what being a parent has felt like.
Yeah.
Everything that I And I don't know what the age difference is. Do we know the age difference between Derek and Amy?
I don't
know.
I mean, off the top of my head, I could probably find out, but
I can't find out.
No, you cannot.
So I imagine that this parental instinct for how he wanted to protect Amy kicked in, and it's very much how I feel on a day-to-day basis, especially with Marlo. A little bit with Jess. Like I want to protect Jessica at all times, but like the fact when he says, you're loud and fearless, and that scares me. Like Marlo was loud and fearless, and I that scares me, but I love it. But that last line of, I don't want you to know that pain exists. Literally that wraps up everything. I feel. Like that's so hard. And as a sibling, I feel some, like there's definitely some trauma that my siblings and I've gone through, the four of us.
Yeah.
Fuck. It's the most inconvenient fucking yawn I've ever had in my entire life. You're right. Having that moment where he just kind of walks through everything, maybe gives her some clarity. It's hard for me as a watcher to believe that they've lived their entire life since her age of five till now, never having that conversation, though. That's a hard thing to, like, rationalize.
Well, there's just so much else going on, and it's like...
It's fair, yeah.
I don't know. Just, like, with the mom, obviously he has a great relationship with his mom, but it's hard with the four siblings and
Mark.
Yeah. And Addison, everything. It's just like, I don't know. It makes me sad to think about, like, again, everyone has, like family drama and it's like no one's immune to it. Even if you have a good like upbringing or a good relationship with your family, you can still have a lot of family drama. So I don't know. It's just like, I just think it's really well portrayed in this episode. And again, it's like they have talked, you know, but I think they kind of, he keeps her at arm's length. They don't have the relationship that she wants to have. And that is, you know, I would say mostly a result of the trauma, but also a result of like her addictions.
Yeah.
And just like, I would say the trauma, because again, when you want to protect someone so badly, then like you're going to wall up and not like be honest with them sometimes, but that can hurt a relationship.
Yeah. Yeah,
so
it's,
I don't know.
Not easy. It's not easy. Life is shit sometimes.
The internet says Amelia and Derek are 7 years apart.
Okay, so he was 12.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, I feel good with this conversation. Anything else you want to talk about with Derek and Amy specifically on this episode? All right. Should we do another episode?
Let's. And we can start it with everyone's favorite segment.